Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Goodreads program on Radio Islam International, medium wave 1548 via audio streaming or DSTV channel 826. It is now 2:45 and I am Zunaida Musa Wadiwala. So listeners, today's program is really exciting as we are broaching on subjects like history, political philosophy, Middle Eastern and even post-colonial studies. The program is based on the book titled The Islamists, A Contextual History of Political Islam. So this is a brilliant book which looks at what gave rise to Islamist movements across the Middle East, Asia, and North Africa. The book talks about the earliest movements, for example, the Ikhwan al-Muslimin or the Muslim Brotherhood founded in Egypt. And it also talks about the intellectual students and learned scholars as part of the different political parties, leaders who were in essence banned, tortured, exiled, and executed. Palestine and the formation of different parties such as Hamas, formed after the Second Intifada, Pakistan and its Jamaat al-Islami, formed after the partition in 1947, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and the rise of Khomeini. So I think I'd just better stop here and tell you that this is a gripping read that you need to get hold of. So the book was written by Bashir Nafi, and Bashir Nafi is no stranger to the topic of Arab nationalism. Bashir Nafi is a research analyst and a university lecturer who, in his introduction to his to this English edition of the book, says, and I quote, "I write this introduction as the initial effects of the major political transformations initiated in the Arab world at the onset of 2011 are coming into view." But, dear listeners, today's program is not intended to be a review of this book. Rather, and this is unusual for my program, today's program is a prelude to the actual review forthcoming in my next program. So this book, originally published in 2014 in the Arabic language and subsequently translated into the Turkish language, has now finally been translated into the English language. And I, like the author, translator, and the publisher, I'm sure, feel confident that this will reach a wider audience, both amongst the layperson as well as to the academics, specialists, and even the undergraduate students. And so today's program will focus on the translation aspect as well as the actual book discussion with the translator. And, dear listeners, I am so excited to introduce you to Aslam Farooq Ali, and to whom we owe gratitude for translating this book into the English language for us. So just a little bit of background. Aslam studied Fusha in Saudi Arabia for 3 years. He did his MA in Arabic translation and had various postings, and thus he spent many years living in the Arab region. Mashallah, he has an impressive list of translations, which I hope we actually have time to discuss with him on today's program. And quite inspiring is that his first translation was the completion of his MA titled Within the Boundaries of Islam, A Study of Bid'ah by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Zunaida, for having me, and welcome to you and your listeners.
Ahlan wa sahlan bikum. Alf mabruk an hadha al-kitab aqulu kalamun jameelun wa sharhu aktharu min ra'i. Kitabun ra'i jiddan, ma sha' Allah. Wa narju min Allahi at-tawfiq wa an-najah.
Allah yajzikum khayran, shukran jazeela shukran.
So Aslam, we don't have much time, and I've got so many questions for you. I'm going to go straight into it, right? Do you have a certain area of specialization when it comes to translation, or do you work on generic translation projects of many different types?
Well, I think that translation itself is a very solitary practice pursuit. And for a person to be able to produce a successful translation, it has to be something that really interests one. So So from my perspective, it's always been seen as a labor of love. I studied Arabic, as you mentioned, you know, initially because of my intention to wanting to understand the Quran better.
Absolutely, and the best intention there is, mine as well.
And obviously, you know, I had the opportunity to study overseas. And once I got back, I wanted to keep my relationship with the language. We live in a non-Arabic environment. And the best way to do that, for me at least, was to try and read as much as possible. And from there, I decided at one point, well, maybe I should try and translate something that interests me. And that's how I went about translating my first book, which was a study on Islam. And obviously, it was something that interested me, the kind of practices that are introduced into our religion that are not exactly, you know, a part of it. So I wanted to understand what the Quran says about religious practice, what does the Sunnah say, so forth. And that's what led me to looking at the works of Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali. Thereafter, I took an interest, obviously, in Islam and politics because I worked on Middle Eastern politics, and I came across Dr. Bashir Nafi's book, which is the book we're discussing right now.
MashaAllah, Islam, you are amongst the very few fortunate people who've had the chance to pursue your dreams and the opportunity to go forth in that field. Now, you've already told us why. My next question was actually going to ask you, why did you choose to translate this particular book? But stemming from the, how do you envision that this book has benefit for us, particularly here in South Africa?
Well, I think that the issue of political Islam is something that has become of common interest, not only to Muslims, but generally it's a global issue because of the kind of conflict we see in the Middle East, the kind of issues that are being raised in global politics about terrorism, the kind of stereotypes that we see of Muslims. South Africans as a minority in South Africa are also not far from these kind of issues. But we also live in a context where fingers are raised against Muslims from the one perspective. And from the other perspective, as a minority, we're very interested in understanding how to live our religion. So for me, looking at the issue of political Islam was not only an education, but also a search for the kind of answers to contemporary problems. And I think that history usually is the best go-to for in terms of trying to understand the present.
That's actually a very interesting viewpoint. I was going to ask you a link to that about your translation, Tomorrow is Another Country, but I'm going to pause that topic. Hopefully, time permitting, we can discuss that because of the South African link, and go on to my next question, which is more about the whole Islamism. And what would you say was the impetus that gave rise to Islamism?
So I think that, this is essentially the crux of what the book deals with. And the point that Bashir Nafi is a historian, obviously, so his point of departure is obviously not necessarily Islamic aqidah or beliefs. These are issues that are, you know, historical and pertain to the way people relate to their creator and to their religious tradition. What Bashir was interested in really was looking at how Muslims within a majority Muslim context, specifically predominantly in the Middle East, reacted to the changes that were brought about to their changing context and environment. So the 20th century, obviously, we saw a move away from direct colonization, from imperialism. Mm. We saw, prior to this, obviously, we had the Ottoman Empire that ruled over most of the Muslim world, early 20th century. And when this came to an end with the collapse of the empire, the Muslim context changed, and it changed in a very fundamental way.
Definitely, Ataturk brought some amazing, different fundamental changes,
Of course, yeah. So these changes obviously impacted on how Muslims reacted to issues of dealing with the other, and obviously how they reacted to dealing with colonization. the imposition of foreign rule in Muslim countries, non-Muslim rule. I mean, the Ottoman Empire was a Muslim empire. Mm. And Muslims, obviously, within the 20th century context, reacted differently to these developments. There was a group that believed that the solution to the destruction of the Ottoman Empire was to embrace Western values. Mustafa Kemal Ataturk was an example of that, and he invoked a form of secularization where there was a break with the past, with the religious tradition, with the politics of the Middle East.
Another example, even changed the language, Aslam.
Yes, of course. The Shah of Iran followed in his stead, where Arabic was in the Ottoman Empire, Arabic as the written language was replaced with the Latin script. Mm. And obviously religion was pushed out of the public sphere and so forth. So this is one trend. Another trend was where we had reformist scholars who believed that the only solution is for a return to Islam. So the motto for 20th century Islamism became Islam is the solution. And what the book deals with then is with very interesting characters, individuals, social movements that then take up this motto and try to seek solutions to the social political problems of their time through the lens of the religion of Islam. And essentially, this phenomenon was what became known as political Islam. There was other minority trends that turned to socialism, to communism, and so forth. But what this book deals with really is how different contexts, different countries looked at Islam as a solution. So the book looks at the early reformist scholars, people like Muhammad Abdu, Jamaluddin al-Afghani, Sayyid Rashid Rida, mm-hmm. and how they influenced society with their ideas and a call for a return to Islam. It then looks at Hassan al-Banna, who was the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is one of the oldest national liberation movements in Africa. Mm-hmm. The only other organization, interestingly enough, that is but older than the Muslim Brotherhood that was founded in 1928 is the African National Congress, which was founded in 1912 in South Africa. So from a South African perspective, in terms of looking at political history, that is an interesting thing to look at how Africa as a continent reacted to colonialism. We had in the South South Africa with the African National Congress in 1912, and in the North you had the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, looking for independence through its own tradition, its religious tradition.
This is so fascinating. Sorry, Aslam. This is just so fascinating, especially for somebody who loves history and politics and the combination of the two. So would you say it's correct to say that, these Islamists, the modern Islamists, with their motto of Islam is the solution, that being the base or their ideology or their goal, do they take that, or is that growing in different parts of the world currently, vis-a-vis the Middle East, Asia? And who would you say supports them internally and externally?
Well, I think it's a very complex question and a very complex phenomenon. And, you have to read the book. This is what I would encourage, to see that there was no stereotypical trend that developed a monolithic understanding. And because different people understood what Islam meant and how it applied to society, we saw very different manifestations. So what happens in Egypt is substantially different from what happens in Pakistan with the Jamaat-e Islami and Maududi.
Yes.
What happens in Saudi Arabia with the Saudi Wahhabi movement under King Abdulaziz Ali Saud is a bit different from what happened with the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979. Mm-hmm. And what happened with the Islamists in Turkey is very much different from all of the other examples I've just cited above.
Correct.
I think that, just to answer your question in brief, there's no answer, there's no solution as yet. And essentially this is one of the conclusions that the book makes. It is an appeal to understand these movements within the course of history and within the context of their specific countries.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but I just have a couple of very important questions, and if you could answer them as fast as you possibly can, sorry about that. But tell us, what are your views on what I think is currently the biggest challenge in world politics, and that is, of course, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? And I'm basing my question on your publication, which I was so fascinated with, the book translation published in 2007, The Future of Palestine and Israel from Colonial Roots to Post-Colonial Realities.
Yeah, that book was an edited volume that dealt with essentially the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Obviously, this is a problem that has plagued the global political stage for a very long time. And from South Africa, obviously, our bias would be towards a solution that leans towards, giving equal rights to everybody. The problem of Palestine and Israel is a problem of settler colonialism. Mm. And the problem of settler colonialism is something that is not foreign to South Africans. You have a foreign people coming onto essentially the land of somebody else and claiming it as their own.
Exactly.
And obviously, the kind of political system that's in place there is one that's based on a form of apartheid, a discrimination of one ethnic group over other people. So, in terms of a solution, very briefly, I mean, I think we live within a contemporary human rights culture where all human beings have to be recognized as equals. And ethnic nationalism really is a problem in our global context today. It goes against the grain of international politics and what is acceptable. So, to my mind, I think the only solution is one that recognizes equal rights for all in Palestine, and guarantees the right of return for people that have been displaced.
Yes,
and a solution that's based on equal recognition.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer, Aslam. I was going to ask you actually in detail about Tomorrow is Another Country, and because it's so different that you translated that one from English into Arabic. Is that correct?
I was an editor of a series of books. What the idea behind these books was introducing the South African experience to an Arab readership. I didn't translate the book. Myself and Dr. Nafi, who is the author of The Islamists, established a series where we commissioned works on South African history to be translated from English into Arabic, and two books were published in the series. The one was A Brief History of the ANC, and the second one was Alistair Sparks' very interesting book on our negotiated transition in South Africa called Tomorrow is Another Country.
And how was the reception in the Arab region of these?
Both books were published in Damascus. They were pretty well received, I would say, at that time. The Arab publishing industry is very different from the global publishing industry. Mm. And books are unfortunately, pirated very easily, and they appear on the internet, and they're downloadable free of charge. So there's no real control. So it's difficult to gauge the impact in terms of book sales. But I would think that both those books were quite widely distributed.
Now, I hope you could have guessed my very last question before we leave you, which is actually, when can we look forward to you writing your own book?
Well, obviously, everything is a work in progress. I have a few projects that I'm currently engaged in. And inshallah, with your du'as and prayers, I hope I can find the time and energy.
Inshallah. May Allah grant you success. And then inshallah, we look forward to hearing more about that. But for now, it's almost time for the 3 o'clock news. So I'd like to say, Aslam, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us and to talk to us on Radio Islam International. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this program. The podcast will be available soon on the Radio Islam International website. And I really encourage everybody to broaden their knowledge and to broaden their understanding by getting hold of a copy of this book, The Islamists by Bashir Nafi and translated by Aslam Farooq Ali. The book is available for purchase from Iqra Agencies situated at shop number 5, Lodium Plaza. You can call them on 012-374-2987 or you can visit their Instagram page, Iqra_agencies_SA. With that, please keep safe. Keep me in your du'as. Ma'as salama fi amanillah.